If you'd like to take out your Bibles, the scripture reading today will actually be covering seven chapters of Proverbs. I'm not going to read all seven chapters of Proverbs. I'm going to read the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 1. And as I do, kind of be listening. The first few verses tell us why the book of Proverbs is a valuable book for us to pay attention to. So we can pay attention. You'll be listening to that, but as you're looking for that, if you're still looking for Proverbs, I want to tell you a little bit about Proverbs and maybe encourage and challenge you a little bit. The book of Proverbs, I think, is probably the most practical book of the Bible. It's also one of the easier books, I think, to read. And they're sayings, they're little snippets in the Bible that are just words of wisdom for us to live by. I was talking to Charles a month or two ago, and he said, if you don't know, Proverbs is by far his favorite book in the Bible. Not that all of it's not important, but he loves Proverbs. And he said, Greg, don't you think Proverbs just kind of encapsulates everything else in the Bible? Somehow or another, there's something there that describes what God's trying to say. And I tend to agree with that. But in the midst of that, I do think it's extremely important that we read. In fact, I would challenge you to read the book of Proverbs at least once a year. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on that at the end of the message. But it's set up in a way that makes it easy to do that. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Well, most of the months of the year have either 30 or 31 days. February is a little weird. There's a weird one everywhere. But as what I'd like for you to think about doing is reading through the book of Proverbs, and it's easy to remember where you're supposed to be. Just on the day of the month, read that chapter. So if, and you don't have to really start at the beginning to get the most out of Proverbs. You can start today. Today's August the 7th. If you chose to do this, read chapter 7 of Proverbs. What would you read tomorrow, Dave Miller? 8. All you have to do is look at your calendar and know what your Bible reading is. And so I encourage you to do that, and I promise you, if you do that for 1 month, you will be filled with wisdom that will surprise you, because the book of Proverbs truly is an amazing book, and I kind of want to show that to you today. So, being that I started this month doing that, I've spent a lot of time with the first 7 chapters of Proverbs. We're going to read in just a second why it's valuable, and then on those things where it says where it's valuable, I'm going to hang some things that I found in the past week in chapters 1 through 7. Just as an example of things that are beneficial. And I think God's going to kind of tweak each and every one of us with something that's going to be said. But I do encourage you to think about making Proverbs a regular part of your devotions. So, let's start by reading, what is the purpose and theme of Proverbs? Here's the answer. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of King David of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to follow along, and you may even want to make some notes under each one there in your bulletin, I've got kind of 5 different things that I pick out from the scripture here that talks about the purpose and theme. And just really quickly, they are: Proverbs provides wisdom and instruction. It provides insight. It tells us something about what it means to be right and fair. It talks about something called prudence, which we're going to define in a moment. And then finally, there's additional learning. And so I want to go ahead and begin wisdom and instruction. And I'm not going to go and refer to every verse in chapters 1 through 7 and tell you where all of those references are. But I promise you, everything I'm referring to comes through chapters 1 through 7 in Proverbs. If you read through it, I think you'll find it. If you want me to, later you want to come to me and say, Greg, where was that in the Bible? I really want to look at it more. Let me know. I'll be glad to show you. but I'm not, I think it would be too laborious to tell you where every verse is as we're going along. But to start with, Proverbs says, do not give in to sinful men. One of the first things in terms of wisdom and instruction. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? You just don't give in to sinful men or women. And that would just make sense. If somebody comes and they want you to go with them to rob a bank, are you going to do that? No. It's common sense. But there's more to it than that. In fact, I even thought about Noah sometimes. He's yearning one day to preach a sermon. And I almost let him get up and say this today because it was what we had in our family devotion last night. But I'll give you a quick example of how it fits to this. Remember what I just said was that you're not to be influenced. You're not to give in to sinful men and women. We talked about that last night before we went to bed, and there was a story that went along with that. There was this boy, and his mom was going to go to the neighbor's house, and the neighbor had another boy there that was about his age, and they were pretty good friends, and the mom said, well, why don't you come with me and go to the neighbor's house so you can play with Johnny? And Tom said, you know, I'm just not feeling well. I'm feeling sick. And she said, well, I really think Johnny's going to be upset that you're not there, but if you're feeling sick, stay at home and rest, and I'll be back in a little bit. He said, okay. Well, after he left, he started talking to his dog. He said, Buster, I am sick. I didn't tell a lie. I'm sick and tired of Johnny. I'm just sick of him. Last time I went over there, he beat me at every game we played, and besides that, he ran faster than I did. Sick of him. I am sick. Well, then Ben comes. Ben's another one of Tom's friends. Comes by. It's a hot day outside. It's 105 degrees in the shade. But he comes by and says, you want to go fishing today? Thought for a minute. He said, well, I know Mom's going to be there for a while. Pond's not that far away. So he grabs his fishing pole and tackle box, and they run down to the pond. Well, they get there, and they fish for a few minutes, but it's not biting like they usually do, and they figure it's so hot that that's probably why it is. So they decide they're just going to stick their toes in the water. And so they start wading, and it felt so good. It was so hot. So they just waded in the water a little bit, and it felt good. So they waded in the water a little bit more, and that felt even better. And so they waded a little bit more, and they kept going. And finally, Tom went, boop, because he stepped in a hole, went completely under the water. And Ben said, he popped back up, and Ben said, swim, swim. And so he did, and he swam to the shore, and he got out completely soaked from head to toe, mud all over him, and he heads back home. Well, as he's heading home, as he gets there, he sees Mom's already there. Well, we're not going to talk about what happened between the time he got there and nighttime, but I want to tell you about the conversation they had that night before he went to bed. His mom said, you know, Tom, sin is kind of like what happened with you in that pond. And I know you told me you were sorry, and you told me you realized you shouldn't have done it, and you should have gone with me to see Johnny, and all that's true, but you need to learn a lesson from this. You know how you stepped in that pond, and you didn't think there was going to be much wrong with that? You just got a toe in, and then just barely your feet were covered, and there was no harm in that, except that you weren't supposed to do it. But then that led you to going a little bit deeper, and that led you to going a little bit deeper, and before long you were completely underwater. And that's what happens with sin. It can just be a small thing, something that's really not going to hurt anybody. It's really not that bad, but when you stick your toe in that sin, it leads to another sin, and it leads to another sin, and before you know, you're sunk. So Tommy, I hope you learned a lesson. So I hope that gives you an example of what we mean when Proverbs says, don't give in to sinful men and women. There are going to be temptations. Very unlikely somebody's going to come and ask you to help them rob a bank this week. But there are people in our lives who don't even necessarily intend it or realize it, but they influence and can influence us in ways that pull us in directions that God doesn't want us to go, and we need to be aware of that. Second, under wisdom and instruction, Proverbs says that we're to repent from foolish ways. Now, we're human, so there are things that we're going to do. There's probably some things we're even in the habit of doing that we just know we shouldn't do. Scripture says that if we repent from those, if we turn away from those, if we seek to no longer have that be a part of our life, we will more easily recognize wisdom. That's what Scripture says. It says, repent from the foolish ways, and we will more easily recognize wisdom. Because if we're not giving in to those things that are pulling us in directions we want, and we're looking at something else, we can recognize the wisdom and where it comes from. So we need to take some initiative there. We need to take a look at our lives and see what it is we need to change and what we need to give up. And then it says along with that, as we recognize wisdom, there's a result from that. If we recognize wisdom and make it a part of our life, Scripture says it can result in a prolonged life, peace, and prosperity. Now, I could preach a whole sermon on those things, and I'm not going to today, but I'm just going to say that's what the Bible says in black and white. Repent from foolish ways, recognize wisdom, and it may result in prolonged life, peace, and prosperity. Last thing under wisdom and instruction. Proverbs also says, seek wisdom as for hidden treasure, and you will find it. Seek wisdom, and you'll find it. God's not going to try to hide it from you. But does it say how we're to seek for it? It says, as for hidden treasure. Now, I don't think God's trying to hide it from us, but it says that's how we're supposed to look for it. Now, I want to throw another illustration out for you. Suppose this young lady, why don't you come up here with me for a minute? Come on. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. If I had a sandbox right here, and I hid a treasure in there, and I told you to go find it, do you think you could find it? Would you find it just by looking at it? Would you get down there with your hands and legs, and would you dig in it all around until you found it? Would you dig around? That's what I thought. And if you had said no, I was going to ask your mama, because I expect she's seen you did. You can have a seat. Thank you. So even for children, they know what it is to look for the treasure. Yet sometimes we say we want God's wisdom. We want God to be a part of what's happening in our lives. So what do? We go to church, we listen to a pastor say a few words, and we think that's the wisdom, and we say, yeah, we know what wisdom is, but we haven't searched for it. We haven't sought to make it a part of our lives as though it's a treasure to be held on to. Second thing I want to focus on is insight. Proverbs gives us insight. Insight to understand what life means and where it is going. Scripture says in Proverbs, love and faithfulness are an important part of wisdom. All right, what is love and faithfulness to you? I don't need to answer out loud, but think about it. What do love and faithfulness look like? What do they feel like? And we have love and faithfulness with God. We have love and faithfulness with other people. But Scripture says that love and faithfulness is part of the foundation of wisdom. Now think about that for a minute. Love and faithfulness. How do you love each other? How do you love God? Is that a regular part of your life? There's a promise that comes with that. If love and faithfulness are a part of your life in the way it should be, it results in a good reputation, both with God and with man. Scripture says that. If love and faithfulness are a regular part of your life, it results in you having a good reputation with God and with man. Pretty wise, isn't it? Right? Faithfulness and love aren't just some nice words that pop out of the Bible. They aren't just some things that sound nice. They have the ability to change your life and the way people, including God, see and experience the person that you are. Another insight. Proverbs says that we're to honor God with our wealth. We're to honor God with our wealth. Some people may say, that's easy. I ain't got no money. I promise you, every person in this room is rich in terms of the rest of the world. Rich. But it's not only with money. Now, I had a conversation about this recently. Now, you have wealth other than money, and we're to share, we're to honor God with all of the wealth we may have, and it can be in the form of family, it can be in form of the house that we have, it can be in form of opportunities, it can be in form of position, and it can be in form of financial wealth. We don't get to pick and choose which wealth we want to do it with. You can't say, oh, I can give him a bunch of time, but I'm keeping all my money. It doesn't work that way. God gives us wealth, and we're to honor God with the wealth that he blesses us with. Why? What does God really need from me? What can Matt Ward give to God that God doesn't already have? Nothing. So why are we supposed to do that? Why don't we just keep it to ourselves? Well, see, there's a promise, again, in Proverbs that goes along with it. It says that if we do that, if we honor God with our wealth, he will bless us. And I've said this before, and I've said it recently, you can't outgive God. But what happens is if you don't give to God, you begin thinking that that wealth you have, that you earned it all by yourself, and that it's yours. And it affects the way that you use it. And then that becomes more important to you, regardless of what form of wealth it is, than God does. So God wants you to honor him with your wealth so that you remember that God is more important than the things that he blesses you with. Otherwise, those things become too important. God doesn't need that from us. God just doesn't want it to become something that keeps us from experiencing the blessing he wants to give us. God loves us, and God gives to us, but he wants to continue to give. So that's why we're to honor God with our wealth. And sometimes that doesn't make a whole lot of sense at first when we start thinking about it, but it's true. It's wise. It's wisdom. Last one I want to share in terms of insight. Sure-footedness is something that comes along with wisdom. With sure-footedness, you can walk without being hampered, and you can run and not stumble. I'm wondering, is anybody in here this past week who walking along somewhere, you just weren't able to get where you wanted to go because of something in your way? Or anybody ever been kind of just running in a hurry somewhere and you stumbled and fell? Has that ever happened? I see someone over Sue shaking her head and saying, yes, when you fell, did it hurt? Yeah, it doesn't feel good. God doesn't want that to happen. It's going to happen some in life just because of the way life is and because we're human and we make mistakes. But it doesn't have to be like that on a regular basis. And as much as it hurt physically, the time that Sue stumbled and fell, it hurts that much in life. It may not hurt physically. It may hurt emotionally. It may hurt spiritually. But God doesn't want that to have to happen to us over and over and over again. So God provides sure-footedness if we pay attention to the wisdom that God desires to give. Let's move on to the third point. Being right and fair. And I call this a manual for living. Another place in Proverbs it says, don't take what doesn't belong to you. Now that just makes sense. That's what the scripture says. I'm not making it up. It's not just wise words from the pastor. Scripture says, don't take what doesn't belong to you. Now, we would say that's just common sense, but I want to go back to the whole shallow and deep thing. That means if you saw somebody drop a pencil and you need a pencil, you may pick it up and use it, but that doesn't become your pencil. Finders keepers, losers weepers doesn't apply in the Bible. And so that pencil belongs to somebody else as much as you finding a wallet with $634 in it belongs to somebody else. You don't take that money and spend it. You don't even take $20 out of it and spend it. It belongs to somebody else. And in fact, Scripture, Proverbs goes even further to say, ill-gotten gain will not benefit you. If you try to get something for yourself without earning it, without it being appropriately yours, Scripture says it's not going to be a benefit to you, even if you think you're going to use it to do so. It's Scripture. It's wisdom. It's truth. Other things about being right and fair, care for your neighbor. If you look in your bulletin, this flyer, it's got information about West Virginia and things that the Baptist General Association of Virginia, lots of churches we're connected to have been involved in helping our neighbors in West Virginia who've struggled. We're actually considering as a church what opportunities there may be in the future. And I actually heard somebody talking about, I forgot who it was, back here today, when we talked about all the rain, somebody said, we remember what rain can do from a long time ago. That something very similar just happened to our neighbors in West Virginia. And so we're considering, we're asking God to help us realize how and when we should be a part of helping our neighbor. And we actually thought we had a trip planned, but realized there was so much being done there, we may not be able to help as much now as we can a few weeks or a few months from now. But we're staying in touch and on top of what's going on, and our church may be sending a team out there to help at some point, to help our neighbors. Another thing that it talks about in terms of being right and fair, it talks about the mouth. Now, I have to be careful when I start talking about the mouth, because inevitably I have 10 people that come back and tell me, you stepped on my toes today. Well, I'm usually stepping on mine as much as I am anybody else's. But this is what Proverbs says about the mouth. Don't say two different things. Don't say one thing to one person and one thing to another. Again, it's that shallow and deep thing. I keep coming back to that. It stuck out at first and it keeps coming back to me. You can say, I just want to be nice to this person. I know if I say this, it's going to upset them. I know you don't tell somebody one thing and somebody another, because even if it's not really wrong, if it's not really hurting anybody, so to speak, what does it communicate if I hear a conversation, I overhear a conversation Russ has with Dave, and he tells Dave one thing, and then I hear a conversation he has with Melissa. I'm thinking, well, that's not what he told Dave. That's going to affect what I'm going to feel like I can trust in terms of what I hear Russ say to me. His word isn't his word, because it's two different things. Proverbs says it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't come out of our mouth that way. It continues on in that same verse to say that there should be no perverse or corruptness. Perverseness or corruptness that comes out of our mouth. Now, what does that mean? So I decided, like I do a lot of times, I took some other versions of the Bible and looked and see what they would say and whatever other words were there. Another word that came up was banter. It shouldn't be banter. Well, I don't use banter in my vocabulary every day. I don't know if y'all do or not, so I had to look that one up. And so I looked it up. And basically, banter is teasing. And I'm not saying the Bible says you're not to tease people. But I'm saying, as I took time to look at the Scripture and invited the Holy Spirit to be a part of what I was doing and putting together this message, I think something came clear to me that I've had visible evidence of. And I tend to talk a lot about teenagers because I was a youth pastor for 18 years, but this isn't limited to just teenagers. You see, there are times that people say things to someone else that's hurtful, sometimes even mean. And I can't tell you the number of times that somebody comes back and defends themselves by saying, I was just kidding. You know how much hurt has been done right before someone says, I was just kidding? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing in some ways to play around with each other and goof off, and I do that. But you have to be careful and understand what the Scripture is talking about here, and here's what I mean. There have been people who'll say that and say, I didn't mean to hurt you, I didn't know, but they're just doing it defensively, and even after they find out that person's been hurt, they don't even go back and try to make it right. They don't say, I'm sorry. They don't have another conversation with that people. They just think that person's got a problem because they can't handle teasing. Baloney. If you've hurt somebody's feelings, whether you meant to or not, you're supposed to go and make it right. And if you say that you didn't mean it, you were just kidding, all the more reason that should be the next thing you do before you take another breath of air. So to me, it makes sense that out of our mouth, there isn't going to be that type of teasing. And if it does come out of our mouth and it hurts someone, we're going to make it a priority to make it right. That's what Scripture says. That's the book of Proverbs. That's practical. Because I promise you, almost every one of us this week is going to encounter something like that, where somebody says something and somebody's feelings gets hurt, whether the other person meant it or not. And there's something in the Bible that tells us how to deal with that. Moving on to prudence. Anybody here know what prudence means? Can you give me a definition? I kind of knew what it was, but I couldn't really put it into words very well. This is what the dictionary definition of prudence is: acting with or showing care and thought for the future. And so I summarize that by saying teaching the ropes to new believers and giving the young a grasp on reality, because Proverbs talked a lot about teaching the young, giving them wisdom. So here are a few things there it says to the young. One, obey your parents. Does that mean your parents are never wrong? No. But your parents, majority of parents, overwhelming majority of parents love you, and they've had more life experience than you have. So they have something to teach you. That one's simple and easy. Unless you're a child and your parent just told you something that you're supposed to do. But there's wisdom there to be heard. Second, love your wife or husband and don't take them for granted. Nobody raise your hand, but if you're married, I got a question for you. Did you respect your spouse this week? Bible says you're supposed to. Don't take them for granted. Did you take your spouse for granted in any way this week? Bible used the word granted. Do not take, and in this case it said a man should not take his wife for granted. I think that David would be okay with us doing the reverse too, that the wife isn't to take the husband for granted. But did you do that? I hate to say it, but my wife is the easiest person for me to take for granted, because I know her love is unconditional. I know she's going to be there for me. And so it's easy for me to take her for granted, but the Bible says I'm not supposed to. Moving on, kind of in the same vein, Scripture also says, no one who commits adultery will go unpunished. I don't need to say anything else about that. It says it word for word in Proverbs. No one who commits adultery will go unpunished. Last one here in terms of prudence. Wisdom equals sound sleep. That wasn't exact words, but basically that's what the Scripture says, that people who understand wisdom, who embrace that, will be able to sleep more soundly. I don't know about you, but most nights I'd be happy if I woke up with a little more sound sleep than what I had. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Is that general or can that be specific? Everything, almost everything I've read in Proverbs is very practical, so I'm trying to understand what that means, and this is what I believe it's talking about. If we understand wisdom and we make decisions that God wants us to, it's going to give us a sense of peace that really and truly in the person that we are, in our inner being, it allows us when we go to sleep to have something different on the inside, that we sleep differently. Illustration I'll share with you, not exact analogy, but gets the point across, I think. There was this guy who was a farmhand, and he went to this couple and he volunteered to be their farmhand for a reasonable amount of pay. Said he was a good farmhand, had experience, and they said okay. He worked for them for a week or two, really good worker. But then one night this big storm came, lots of wind, heavy rain, hail just coming, and the husband and wife woke up, but the farmhand never did. And they couldn't imagine, how can he not wake up? This is his responsibility. He's supposed to be out taking care of things. He should have been up before we were. They go and they shake him up, and they say, it's raining outside. It's doing this. I'm worried about stuff. He said, it's going to be okay. Because he knew the signs and he anticipated the rain and the wind coming. So he shut and locked the barn doors. He strapped down all the things that could blow away. And he had a good night's sleep. And sure enough, in the morning when the husband and wife went out and looked, everything was taken care of. Nothing was destroyed. Nothing was blown away. And he was able to sleep soundly. That's not to mean lightning could have struck something and something happened like that. Those things happened. But he was able to sleep in a different way because he had lived in a way that he knew was going to affect his future. And the same is true for us. Storms are going to come in life. Storms are going to come for every one of us, but we will be able to have a different type of peace if we allow God to be the one to guide our steps. I want to move to the last point I had in terms of it talking about the purpose of Proverbs. Proverbs for the wise and experienced as well. there's always something for us to learn. Ms. Giles has to be one of the wisest people I know, and she has lots of experience, and there are things I learn from her every time I go to visit. But Ms. Giles, would you say you know everything and there's nothing else God can teach you on this side of heaven? She said, Lord, no. She knows there's more she can learn. And this is coming from Ms. Giles. And those of you who know her, she's speaking truth. So we can learn more. Three things I want to share really quickly. One is that we're to trust God. Now, if we trust God, it presents a straight path for us to go down. It will make a difference in the life that we have. So let's think for a minute. I actually talked with this about one of the groups that I do chapel with downstairs. Andrew, you were a part of that. Come up here and be my example. Come on up here, Andrew. You can help me. You can help me, buddy. If you don't want to, I won't make you. If you don't want to, I'll get Cody to do it. Would you rather Cody do it for me? Or do you want to do it? My whole thing is I'm going to ask, do you trust me? All right, come on up here, buddy. You got to get where people can see you. Okay. All right. He's already done this, but I'm going to ask you. Andrew, do you trust me? You sure you trust me? All right, well, I want you to fold your arms across like this. And when I tell you, I want you to fall backwards. Keep your feet on the ground. Don't move them. And I want you to know I'm going to catch you, okay? All right. You can fall. You did it. Okay. Do you still trust me? All right, I'm going to let you fall a little bit further, but I'm still going to catch you, okay? So keep your feet where they are and just fall backwards, okay? Okay, you can fall. Oh, pretty good. Do you think you still trust me?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right, we're going to try it one more time. This will be the last one if you can do it, okay? All right, fall back. Pretty impressive. Give Andrew a hand. Go ahead and have a seat by your dad. How many of you would have done that? Now, if I had asked you if you trust your pastor to start with, I bet you would have said yes. Most of us would say, all of us would probably say we trust God. But do we really trust God? There's a man in Scripture called Ananias in Acts chapter 9 that God came to. He said, Ananias, I want you to go and visit a guy named Saul. He said, oh, wait a minute. I've heard this name before, and I need to make sure we aren't talking about the same ones, because the Saul I know is the one that persecutes people and kills people that speak in your name, and everybody knows I speak in your name. I'm not ready to die yet. God says, trust me. I've already appeared to him in a dream. I want to make him one of my followers. Go. Now let me ask you again. God gives you the message he gave Ananias. Do you trust him? Ananias did. He went. I don't know what he did when he went. I don't know how much he was praying when he went. I don't know who he talked to before he left. I'm sure he had some anxiety. But he went. He trusted. God asks us to trust him every single day. And when we've reached a certain level of trust, he asks us to trust him more. If I had more time, Andrew eventually would have gotten to the point, yeah, he caught me like this. My next thing would be to put Andrew up on a table this high, stand on the table, and then ask him to fall off the table and trust that I would catch him. And you know, I think Andrew would probably do it. But we never reach the ultimate level of trust in God on this side of heaven. God asks more and more of us, and as we give to that, it enables us to be the person that God desires us to be. Second thing under additional learning, don't resent God's discipline. God's going to discipline every one of us because all of us still sin, even though we've given our lives to him. We don't need to resent God's discipline. We need to learn from God's discipline, grow from God's discipline, realizing it's a result of his loving care. God doesn't want us to continue to make the same mistakes over and over. So yes, even though we ask for forgiveness, there's probably consequences to our sin. And there's good reason for that. That's wisdom from the book of Proverbs. So somebody might come to you and say, but I asked for forgiveness and I meant it. Why is it that I still have to suffer like this? You've got the answer from Proverbs. Don't resent God's discipline. We learn from that and we grow, and God does it because He does love you, and it helps you do a better job next time at avoiding falling in the same pit again, because you might have an even worse consequence the next time, and God wants to prevent that. It's because God loves you. And that's in Scripture. Lastly, and I'm just going to read this one, not really comment a whole lot on it, but you may want to be aware of this if you're not. It comes from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. And these are six things the Lord hates and seven that are detestable to Him. So I'm just going to share them with you. Read them straight from the Bible. 6:16. Starting verse 16. These are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes. Haughty eyes means arrogant, thinking that you're better than somebody else. God hates that. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I don't think I need to preach on any of those. I think we understand what they are. I'm going to ask Melissa to go ahead and come up and lead us in our closing invitation hymn. You see, I have to believe because of the practicality, because of the fact that it's so relevant to our day-to-day life. Now, there's something that was shared here. I know there's several that do me, that stick out, that God saying, you know, you could learn something from this. There's a benefit here. And so I think personally there's some things every time we read the Bible, and particularly the book of Proverbs, that we're going to get that's going to influence our own lives. But I want to tell you something else. And I'm not trying to puff up Charles Umbarger, but it's just truth. There are people in this very room right now who can affirm this because they've told me. Charles is a wise man and a man of faith. And there are numerous people in this church and in this community, when they have struggles in life, when they're trying to make decisions, they go and they ask for a time to sit down with Charles and have a conversation, because they feel like they're going to come away with something they didn't have to start with in terms of wisdom, in terms of insight. And I haven't asked Charles this point blank. You can ask him after service is over. I don't want to embarrass myself if I'm wrong. But I believe he would probably say that comes as much from his understanding of the book of Proverbs and his ability to understand that through his relationship with God and the Holy Spirit as anything else. And Charles doesn't have any desire to take credit for that. But I think he's thankful that God's able to use him in that way. Not to take anything away from Charles, but he's no more special than any of the rest of us. He's just willing to be used by God in that way. God wants to do the same thing with all of us. If we pay attention to this word and we live our lives in this way and it takes us down that straight path, other people who are facing struggles and want wisdom and want something to feed their opportunity to make decisions in the best way possible, they're going to want to have a conversation with you too, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. This word is powerful. The book of Proverbs, if you haven't read it, you need to. Because just like I said, it provides insight into every other aspect of the Bible. And will change your life and the lives of those around you if you let it. I believe God speaks to us every day and desires something from us every day. And I don't know what that is for you today. But whatever it is, I hope you have ears to hear and you'll respond. And it may be that you want to make a commitment to say, God, I know that there are some things in my life that your wisdom tells me should be different, and maybe I can pray with you about that. If God leads that, not for me, but for you, I'm willing to do that. You may want to come and pray at the altar and just kneel, and just between you and God, make that right, make something right. Or maybe there's people on your mind that you know that you're praying about, and probably if you pray about them and you're in tune with them, they may be some that come to you seeking that wisdom that comes from God. But God wants to use you. God is speaking to you today. Respond to whatever He's saying as we stand together and sing.
Hymn number 417, Trusting Jesus 1, 3, and 4. Please stand.
As we depart this place, may we live out the words we just sang together. May we trust you. May we trust you when we don't know what's on the other side of our next step. May we trust you when we're walking into the darkness. May we trust you when we don't know what the answer is. May we trust you when we don't even know what the question is. Lord, allow us to trust you completely and fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.